So my name is Mike Tholfsen. I'm a PM on the education team at Microsoft, and I do a lot of work with the groups team. I also do a lot of stuff with OneNote and class notebooks and classroom, thus the purple OneNote Avenger capes, if you've never seen them. They're lots of fun in the education space. And with me is Krish.
Hi, my name is Krish Galley. I'm a program manager in the Office 365 groups team. And together, we're going to be talking in the next 45 minutes about how Office 365 groups are being used by our customers in education. Let's get right to it. And if the demo gods are with us, we'll also show you how some of these things work in action. And we'll be here after the session to take any questions. So we request you to come front and talk to us. Don't be shy. All right, so groups. For people who are not very familiar with groups, Office 365 groups is a service that enables teams to communicate and collaborate better by establishing a single identity managed in Azure Active Directory and a set of shared permissions that connects all the different apps in Office 365 together, whether it be Outlook or Planner or anything in between. You create a group in one place, it's established everywhere else in Office 365 with the same permissions and same identity. With that, we'll be covering today three classes of groups experiences that a lot of our users and customers in education use today. The first category is everyday groups. These are the groups that our users form organically because they get a need and they just have to communicate and collaborate with a team of people. The second experiences are what is called professional learning communities, or PLCs. This is where a set of faculty and staff across various schools come together to share their expertise and to help improve the academic performance of their students. And finally, Microsoft Classroom. That's a completely first-party app built by Microsoft using the power of groups, and we'll be showcasing some of those things today. Let's get into the everyday groups in schools and universities. We hear from a number of users and customers that groups right now are used for project work, whether it be faculty, where they have to collaborate with a different set of people in their organization, or staff, even IT, where they have projects that they have to go work on together, as well as students who, during the course of the normal school year or college year, they have a lot of projects that they have to work collaboratively with other students in their class. The main thing to note here is the flexibility that we provide for end users, the students, staff, faculty, where they can go and create their own groups. In addition to the control that we provide to you fine folks, so that you can manage and make sure the security, compliance, and other benefits of Office 365 accrues to groups, really makes the Office 365 groups a powerful solution for collaboration. Some of the interesting things that we have built specifically for faculty and our customers in education are, for example, multi-domain support. We heard from a number of universities that we need a specific domain for our staff and faculty, and we need a different domain for our students. So when students go and create groups, now you can set policies so that they will create groups in their own domains, students.contoso.edu. And when faculty or staff go and create groups, you can have their own domains, like professors or faculty.contoso.edu. This allows you to segment the types of groups and also apply different policies that are enforced for people who, for students and staff. And finally, I also want to talk a little bit about mobile apps. Since we launched our mobile apps, one of the biggest asks that we've been getting from our customers in education is, where is the iPad app? We've seen a number of teachers in K-12, as well as professors in colleges, using iPad as their primary technology device. And having a Groups app in the iPad has been a huge ask, and I'm super excited to announce that we launched Outlook Groups app on the iPad last Thursday, so just a few days back. So it's available today to download and use for all our customers worldwide. Let's talk a little bit about the next set of groups, which is interest groups. We hear a lot from our customers about how Office 365 group solution is powering scenarios such as chess or robotics clubs across various and many other interests that students, faculty, and staff are interested in joining and participating just to improve their knowledge about a specific hobby or specific interest that they may have. And there are also specific admin-related controls that we have provided to make sure you have the right controls to manage these set of groups the way you choose. For instance, from an end-user standpoint, we've heard a lot about how I want to create a group and I want to be able to send as that group. So when I'm sending it to people who are non-members from this group, it comes in as, you know, university's chess club or this student organization. So there's a brand associated to from in terms of where that mail or message is coming from. In addition, we also enable hidden membership, again, from a huge ask from our customers in education, mainly to protect and have privacy for students who have special needs. And finally, changing privacy type. So by default, when you create Office 365 group today, it is public by nature. And as the group evolves, and if you believe that group needs to be private due to any sensitive information that's being discussed, with a couple of actions, you can quickly change the group type from public to private and vice versa based on the needs of that group. And finally, external connection. And this is something I'm super excited about, and I'm going to be demoing that on my iPad today. So two new things working together. So let's hope it works great. But the core scenarios that we've heard from a lot of our customers in education is today it's a huge challenge for teachers in K-12 who need to send daily updates to parents of the children in their class because they get to use Facebook or any other social media tools. They send emails, and typically what happens is that people miss events. Like you send out an update saying a school is closed on a specific day, or there's a special event that maybe they should probably attend and come to school. And a lot, because of all the tools and a combination of tools that people are using, it's extremely hard to stay up to date on what's happening with my children's class. The other need that we've heard from our higher education customers is around research. Professors in universities often tend to do research in collaboration with professors from another university. And being able to create a group where people can add other members who are external to their organization has been a huge ask. So I'm super excited to announce that a couple of weeks back, we added and shipped the functionality which we are calling Guest Access. And what that functionality allows us to do is the ability for the owner of a group to be able to add another member who's external to the organization. So if I'm a professor in a specific university and I wanted to collaborate with another professor from another university, all I need is their email address. And from then on, once I add that person into my group, I will now be able to share conversations and share files and collaborate with that person in a full-fledged manner. And I'll be showing you that in action. Another capability we added for groups for control is restricting messages from people who are not members of the group. So there are a lot of times where you want to restrict anyone outside this group to be not able to send message to a specific group. Now with a simple PowerShell command, you can do that for any group in your organization. The power of groups is that the experiences that groups offers doesn't have to end with what we ship to our customers. We also offer a powerful set of REST APIs that are available publicly, which we own internal to Microsoft, are building a number of first-party applications, as well as we've heard from a lot of our partners building vertical solutions that tailor to specific needs. So we have partners who are building legal solutions, education solutions, and a number of other solutions tailoring to vertical needs. So definitely take a look into that and let us know if there's something that you'd like to get added as we continue to invest in a powerful platform for groups. All right, now I'm going to demo what the iPad app looks like. Good. Okay, so the first thing you notice when a user opens the iPad app is that we built Outlook groups for iPad in a native way, utilizing the full real estate and the potential that iPad offers. You also realize that we have two sections for users to categorize their groups. There are a set of groups that I care a lot about, and I want to have control over staying on top of them. And there are other groups, which you see below the list, where I might go in there when I have some time. So with a simple swipe on my groups list, I can add that group as a favorite, as well as control notifications. So gaming community here, since it's a special interest group that I go occasionally once in a while, I don't need to get alert notifications from that group. I can simply disable that, still know that there is activity when I go into the app, so I can check it when I have some free time. Going into the National Science Foundation, since I'm a professor in this demo, and this is our research group, I see that Zrinka has sent me a message saying, Professor Barton from another university is now interested in collaborating with us in this specific research project. So I'm going to go to members page and type in Linda's email address. I'm using an Outlook.com example for this demo, but rest assured, this works with any email address that people have in the public. And I'm going to add that person into my group. Now, once this gets added, Linda is going to be a full member of my group. I also get notification to say that Linda_ignite.com is now a member. And we have certain indications like the globe icon as well as the guest section in my members page that shows that Linda is now a member of this group. So as simple as going and adding a member, I'm able to add somebody who is external to my organization. I can also send a message. Well, why stop there? Let me also take a picture. And now Linda is getting this in her email account. What Office 365 Groups app provides for users today is not just the ability to share conversations, but also the ability to view and edit files. So I have a list of files here. I can select a file. I can open it up either natively within my app if I'm just reading it. And sometimes when I want to make quick edits, I can open it up in PowerPoint, which enables me or gives me the ability to have the full functionality to edit that document. I can also set up meetings. So this is the scenario where I was talking about how, in the other use case where in the parent-teacher scenario, it's so hard to know when an event happens and make sure I take the right action as a parent when I get these things from my teachers. So I set up a group meeting, and we have tailored this visit so that based on what I select, my options here are preset. So the number of taps or clicks I need to make to send a meeting invitation is vastly reduced, and I'm a lot more efficient with this app. I'm going to set it up for, say, Wednesday. And I'm going to hit create. Now again, this is going to all the group members, including Linda. She's going to get that meeting invite in her email, and she can accept that invite right from there. So in her personal calendar, now she has all the events that she needs to attend in one place, really efficient and productive. And finally, we also have the ability to launch OneNote right from the app, and it takes the user into the actual OneNote of this group. And also, one of the key things that iPad natively allows you to do is the side-by-side view. So if I'm looking at conversations and I have to edit something in the OneNote, I can do that side-by-side without much context switching. That's the iPad app I wanted to share today, and I wanted to also switch back and show all these messages that I just sent. So firstly, there's a welcome email that gets sent to Linda from me, who I just added. And Linda now has the ability to not just use email and get all the email conversations, but also get to the group files. Once I sign in, she'll be able to see the same group files view that I showed for all members who are inside the organization. This is the email that I just sent, so you guys believe me that it just went through the system. And finally, this is the group meeting that I sent out as well. So if once I accept this meeting, it's again in my calendar, and I don't need to start switching between multiple various tools to make sure my need is met. So that is the demo. And really quick, some of the other requests that we've gotten from our customers from education, sender restriction is a big ask, where you don't want students to be able to send a message to a specific group. You just want to control who can send messages to a specific group. That's coming soon. Naming policy is currently available. We shipped it early this year in Exchange, but we are also bringing the same powerful ability to add prefix and suffix and word matching and all the awesome capabilities of naming policies in AAD. So whether a group is created in Outlook or in Planner, you get the same functionality of applying those policies consistently. And finally, group lifecycle management has been a huge request for many of our users. Especially, we've heard from a number of education institutions in K-12, where they create classroom groups through scripts. So every year, a teacher ends up getting like 5 groups. And you can imagine, year over year, if it keeps building, it's probably going to become very unmanageable for that user. So very soon, we are working right now on our lifecycle management, which means does a user archive a group. So even though that group is not deleted, the person has access to go get content and reuse content from something that they may have done in the past years. As well as soft delete is a functionality that we are working on, which will add the ability to delete the group without permanently removing that group. Putting that in soft delete mode is another huge request that we've received from a number of institutions. So that's it, folks. That's Everyday Groups for you. And I'll be staying back as well to take any questions on it after we're done.
Great, thanks. So quick question, who here has ever heard of a professional learning community, PLC? Many, some. And what a PLC is, and it's more common in K-12, it's probably in higher ed it exists as well, but the idea of a PLC is that it's a group of teachers and faculty who come together, maybe in a school, maybe across a grade, maybe across a district, but they come together to solve a specific education problem. It's really a group, but just for faculty. And so what we did is we tried to capture some of the templating and materials and help teachers and faculty set up these PLCs. Because you might talk to a room full of principals and educators and talk about groups, and you might get a blank stare. And then you talk about PLCs, and they're like, oh, I know what those are. And so they're often the same things. It's just how do you talk about them and explain them and help people set them up. So what we have here, you can have PLCs at lots of levels in a district. And this is a K-12 example. But you might have a superintendent. You might have a principal level. But we really focused on the teacher level. And if you're thinking about higher ed, you could also think about at a department level. Maybe you have a set of professors in a department working together in a project. It doesn't have to be K-12. And so ultimately, we just are taking the vision of groups, which is not just in a browser. It's also on iPads, as you saw. It can be mobile. It can be on desktop. And the idea is, how can we have a simple and structured way for teachers and faculty to collaborate more effectively and help them easily wrap their mind around creating these things? And really what it does is we looked at the PLC model, and if you're familiar with the education space, a very common model is called the do-for model, which is the plan, do, and check, reflect. And really what we've done is just taken a set of apps that we have, that Groups provides in many cases, and plugged them into this do-for model. And again, this is a model that most educators and faculty understand. And so you can see here, you've got a set of things. You have things like OneNote and Outlook. We have Planner integration, which is rolling out across groups now. And you pull those together in this model that is very appealing to educators. I have the chance to work with a lot of schools around the country and the world. And when you talk about this PLC model, it resonates really powerfully. Because most school districts have a huge pain point, which is, how do your teachers or your faculty in universities collaborate effectively? And the answer is usually with 50 different tools and wikis and Google Docs and sites and forums and docs and all these things all over the place, sticky notes. And there's no way to wrap this stuff all together and make it cohesive. And so PLCs is actually a big pain point. Now, what I'm going to do here, and I'll play briefly. We've got a video, so it's kind of nice to sometimes see what are actual school districts doing with PLCs. And we ran a pilot when we were working on PLCs. We worked pretty closely with the Omaha School District. And this video will talk about how PLCs help them. And so I'm just going to hit play here really quick.
Omaha Public Schools is about 52,000 kids.
Hello.
We have about 8,000 staff, all of which are encompassed within Office 365, which is our collaboration platform.
PLCs are professional learning communities. Teachers get together and collaborate, not just within their grade levels, so a third grade teacher could get information from a second grade group.
We really did turn it over to the staff and we said, look at the big picture needs of the school and think about places where you could really add value.
In the past, those communities have just been paper-based. We've had binders for that. Those items get lost a lot because they get either fell out of a binder or it's forgotten. The PLC notebook is accessible for everyone. That helps teachers be able to collaborate with each other.
Using our PLC groups, everything's templated out, so you just add them to it, and it pops up in their Office 365 account, and they're rolling the next day.
There's no more having to track down the principal or track down your colleagues to get answers to questions.
I love the fact that I can create sections, I can create pages within those sections and subpages, and I can upload anything I want, do a quick snip from a page and throw it in there. Everybody knows the format, so we're not trying to figure out somebody else's way of thinking.
It's all right there for me. I feel like I have a pulse on each of the grade levels.
Office 365 Groups really brings about the collaboration, but also the discussions. As you can see, I'm a part of a lot of groups in the district, and this is really where I get most of my experience with the group, my daily attention. I can hop in, see a point of data that somebody's put in there, then I can contribute to that group as well.
Because our team has grown, PLC groups have given us that common space that we all know we can go to, a shared calendar, which has really helped our team be more cohesive and on the same track with each other.
Okay, so check it out.
There's so much asked of teachers and there's so many demands put on that sometimes actually sitting down and talking to your colleagues, it doesn't happen. They can go home at night and say, okay, here's an activity we did today and it really helped with that comprehension strand or something, and I want to make sure my teammates get that.
The PLC has really been integral to helping our teachers dive in and be able to look at data and be data-driven.
They can look at trends for their students, grades, testing, assessments. A day's worth of data is now being able to be handled in hours.
We can really look at what is a best practice, and is that best practice really effective in Omaha, Nebraska with our students?
I definitely would say having all of those features in one place, it's like your one-stop shop.
Having that inside of Office 365, that peer-to-peer conversation, it really takes down the boundaries of what we traditionally have. I really see a huge growth in PLCs moving forward.
So that's the Omaha School District. And what's interesting is that in a lot of cases, if those of you who are working in the education space, you'll realize this, but there's a lot of places in education that have not seen the full efficiency and transformative power that, say, a leading edge corporation might be seeing. And so a lot of the things in PLCs, they're dealing with paper binders in many cases. There's a lot of paper out there and a lot of still phone calls or sticky notes or even just routing around lots of emails and lots of attachments. And so what we've done with PLCs is we've tried to bring all these capabilities to a school. And for those of you who aren't aware, when we launched PLCs, and I'm kind of curious, who here was aware that we launched a PLC product? Raise your hand. So a few, but many of you are not. So the way it works is if you're in Office 365 and you have an education account as a faculty license, when you try and create a group, we actually pop up a little dialogue. In the Create dialogue, you can see we surface PLC over there on the right, which is a simple thing, but now if you're in faculty or you're a teacher, all of a sudden, oh, a PLC, I know what that is. And when I create the group, I'm not going to create this right here because I've already have one created. When I create a PLC, it just creates a group that is skinned in a little bit different way. And so we have things like a default notebook template inside the PLC group. And the OneNote notebook in these PLC groups, and I was involved on the OneNote side as well, they come templated out with a lot of materials. How to get started, how to do data collection, how to have meeting templates. So a lot of simple things, but getting people started and having a place to keep all that collaboration in. You have the built-in calendar, which many of you know with groups. But again, if you're a teacher or in your faculty in higher ed, now you can have your Outlook calendar, you can have your departmental calendar, your PLC calendar. And there's also Skype is now being rolled out, and so the ability, so you'll be able to do the Meet Now capability. We heard from a lot of educators the reason they wouldn't collaborate with their PLC would be it was too hard for me to drive in, or I live 30 miles away, or you know, making the time. And now the ability to have that Skype Meet Now will be very easy. And the last thing that's in the process of rolling out into groups, and I believe it's in the first run release, who here has heard of Planner, Microsoft Planner? So if you ever show Planner to a group of teachers, you'll get a lot of wows and big eyes, because it turns out, again, a lot of teachers have to do these lightweight projects. And so this is an example of a plan that's been filled out in the PLC group where teachers are doing data collection, they're planning for conferences, and they've got different buckets here. This is where it's bucket to assign to, so different teachers are assigned to different things, and if I want to drag SMART goals to a different person, I can easily do that. I can bucket by assign to, or I can bucket by categories. And even things like automatic chart creation about who's doing what task. Again, this is very common in the information worker space, virtual teams. But again, a lot of teachers aren't exposed to the latest technology as fast, or a lot of professors as well. So now you've got a nice little chart that can track those things. So that is a little tour of PLC groups. And again, this is out right now. It's across North America. We just rolled it out worldwide. Many faculty and many teachers might not be aware that it exists. So a lot of this here is letting know, hey, you can get value out of groups, or if you've turned off groups in some cases, this is a reason why many faculty and teachers like to use it, is that PLC concept. So that's the first thing I'm going to show. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about briefly, and they're related, and I'll talk about Classroom first because it's user-facing. Who here has heard of the new Microsoft Classroom product? Okay, good numbers. And then who's here is related, it's brother or sister, School Data Sync, which is more on the back end. So some of you, and I'll talk about School Data Sync right after Classroom. So what we've done with Classroom is we say in Office 365, we heard a lot of feedback that teachers just want one place to pull together information about collaborating with students and assignments. The thing that a lot of teachers and faculty do is create assignments and work with students. and that sort of lightweight workflow, and just a place to pull everything together. So we make classes and assignments really easy. So setting up the classes, which I'll talk about, as well as pulling all those assignments together, we make really, really easy. And then we also have every place where all the students can keep track of their stuff. So students want to be able to go to one place and see what their assignments are. There's a mobile app for Classroom. So there's an iOS and Android app where you can also on your phone see what are my assignments that I need to work on. And just a way to make it easy for students to turn things in and teachers to grade those things. And in addition to that, we've pulled in OneNote class notebooks. So in addition to having a place where you can have your assignments and a calendar, which I'll show, we also have a place for OneNote class notebooks, which are built right into this classroom experience. Who here has heard of class notebooks? I'm also kind of curious. A few of you, not all of you. I won't be going deep into class notebooks today, but that's something that is a big part of the education story with Microsoft, and that's how we've built it right into Classroom, and we built it right into Groups. Again, school data sync. So this is on the back end side. And I'm not going to demo school data sync today, but I'll talk about it. I'll demo Microsoft Classroom. So school data sync, this is a free product. Classroom is free. Also, school data sync is free and built into Office 365. So the big challenge we have, and a lot of schools have, would be, OK, I've got a school information system, an SIS. For those of you who haven't heard what an SIS is, it's really a database of all the roster information, so which students are in which teacher's class. It has some other information around, you know, maybe guardian emails or if there are different school lunch programs they might be on. It's a big database of information about the school and the students. They'd say, how do I get all that student roster data into Office 365 directory and have Office 365 be class aware, meaning Office 365 can now know what teachers are teaching what students, when students change classes, how does that happen? So that's really what this does. It'll suck in all the data from the student information system. So things like PowerSchool, it's a huge one, Skyward, or maybe Infinite Campus. Suck all that data in to Office 365 and make groups out of it. Automatically create groups. You now know which teachers are, which students, who's attached, when they move. We sync that data in every night. So if student A goes to teacher B, we can automate that whole process. In addition, when we create those groups, we can create those classes on top of it. So when we see Microsoft Classroom, all those classes are automated and set up by school data sync. So again, there's probably a lot of IT folks here. This is an IT director's dream, essentially. Now I could push a big button before school starts. It pulls in all the SIS, automates the group, sets up the classes, the teachers can come in, and a lot of their things are just ready to go. Saves everybody a ton of time and headache. In addition, we have SSO, so you can have apps that have single sign-on, and there's also an API that's in the process of being built, which on this slide I'll talk about a little bit. So in terms of single sign-on, you can get that with School Data Sync. We have an API, and then also security and compliance. So big parts of the school administrator, obviously, worrying about security and compliance, that's all taken care of with School Data Sync. And we're working with partners across the spectrum. So it's not just US partners. We're going to be working with international partners. Also, if you're familiar with the One Roster standard, which is a global international standard that's being approved, One Roster, School Data Sync will also talk to One Roster compliant SISs. So the idea is we want to talk to as many SISs as we can and pull in all that data and create classes based on it. And in terms of the demo, I will show the Microsoft Classroom demo really quick here. I'll make sure I leave some time at the end for questions. So Microsoft Classroom is in public preview right now. And that means, and we have all the links at the end, so the deck, all the links, how to sign up, all the preview. The idea is if you join the public preview and enable this in your tenant, teachers will see a Classroom link right here. And here we are in Classroom. You can see it looks a lot like modern groups. We've added a couple of key things. We've added a little navigation structure on the left-hand side where all the classes that I have are set up. But the key is this assignment. So all my assignments, this is like an assignment list right here. And you can see the classes that were created by School Data Sync. You have history, math, science. I can create my own classes. But in this case, I'm going to navigate into a math class. And you can see here across the top, very familiar groups type of UI. We have a calendar, so there's a class calendar where assignments go into. There's conversations. There's a class notebook, and that's the thing that I talked about earlier that is really taking off in the education world. We've built that right into the class structure. There's files, which is really just a group OneDrive, and then manage, which is just a way that you can customize your class, change the names, and things like that. And so if I was going to create an assignment, I would just go here and click on New Assignment. And we have a simple UI, so I might have, like, here's your math homework, and I can give it a due date, so I can say when that's due. Maybe it's due October 4th. I can give a time when it's due. And I can have an attachment, too. I can take it from my group OneDrive. I can add links. I can add things from a class notebook. Maybe in this case, I'm just going to add a simple link that I want them to go read. So I'm going to go to the OneNoteInEducation.com site for them to read up on that. And I can add other things in here. And I can assign it to different classes. So I can assign it to one math class. I could also, if I taught different periods, I could push it out to multiple math classes. And again, very lightweight. This is not meant to be complex workflow. This is not meant to be something like Blackboard, which is a high-scale system, learning management system in a university. This is meant to be very lightweight for teachers to very quickly get up and running and do work in that sense. And once that assignment is pushed out, I can go and look at those different assignments. You can see these are not graded. I can drill into one. So here's an assignment that I might have created earlier on a problem of the week. You can see there's details. There's submission info. I can very quickly say, like, oh, who's late? Who's turned in? I graded this one. This one's past due. I can enter lightweight grades, 0 through 100. But this is my list of students here. And I can very easily say who's done, who's not done, who have I posted grades to. So again, this is very lightweight, but the idea is saving teachers time, helping them be more organized. I also have a calendar in here, which is just the Outlook Web Access calendar. I also have a class notebook, which is automatically created by the group. And I'm not going to go into detail on class notebooks, but the idea is that class notebook is also tied in and linked right into my group. And so that's a quick tour, but I want to make sure we have time for questions. That's a quick tour of how Microsoft Classroom works. That's in preview right now. We're going to be coming out to general availability likely later this year. I'm not going to promise any dates, but the idea we're hoping to is later this year, as well as School Data Sync. So there's some links here, and they're all in the deck, so you don't have to furiously write them down right here. But we've got end-to-end deep dive videos of Classroom and how it works. We have lots of guides. We have things on learning tools. We also have tenant admin if you want to get set up and try this out. As a tenant admin, you could enable this in your tenant fairly easily now because this is in a public preview. And lastly, on just the general recap, we talked about everyday groups and the power and flexibility. We've got the new iPad. We have ways that students can engage in groups, way that teachers can engage in groups. We have PLCs, which is out and available right now. So this is something that anyone with an education faculty license can go create today. And it's free, built into Office 365. And then lastly, I talked about Microsoft Classroom as well as School Data Sync. This is also in public preview. We're hoping to GA later this year. This is free. So the idea is teachers, faculty can try this out. It can bring together all of their pieces of Office 365 into one coherent experience. And then as IT administrators, with School Data Sync, you can save yourself a lot of time, and you can also save teachers and faculty time by setting all this up. And it'll automate the group process, automate the rostering process, automate all those pain points that we know a lot of IT administrators have today. And in terms of specific links, all those things are right here as well. Again, it's in the deck. I encourage you to check out the deck and click to your heart's content. The video that I showed is here amongst some other videos and blogs. And with that, we've got some time left for questions, so I'm happy to answer questions that people might have. And these are some upcoming group sessions as well.
Yeah, so I highly recommend you guys to try to attend as many group sessions as possible to learn more about all the capabilities, whether it's end-user experiences or admin-related experiences. We have a ton of sessions, and you can definitely get knowledgeable about the product and use groups in your organization. Come talk to us. We always are here to listen to feedback and build the product based on what our customers are asking us for. So thank you all. You can come over if you have any questions.
There are questions at the mic, too. We are happy to answer as many questions as necessary. Do you have a question? Okay, sure.
So we're a K-12 school district with an Alpha 365 tenant. One thing we struggle with is being a part of these public previews, because when we change our tenant to early release status or whatever that's called, it changes and breaks all kinds of other stuff when it's not working right. What is your guys' recommendation? I mean, do you recommend setting up a second tenant for dev stuff and trying that kind of stuff? Or how do you expect a lot of the school districts to be a part of the pre-release things without affecting, the remainder of the tenant?
That's a good question. So to repeat and summarize, it sounds like you're saying, hey, how do we have a small group of people use, say, the new technologies, try out Classroom, or if you want to experiment, School Data Sync, you definitely want to experiment with, obviously, without going on your main tenant. And yeah, I think there are a couple options. I think if you have a experimental tenant that you work on, that's a great one. The other one is, and what I can do, and I've got a business card up here, and I'll give you one afterwards. We actually have an onboarding team on the education team, and so we actually have a set of people we work with who can work with you to get up and onboarded and trying out new things without, opening it up to your entire tenant. So probably the best way, we have sites that talk about this as well, but come up to me and get my card, and I can hook you up with our onboarding team. Other questions? Sure.
So I know you said that you can pull from the SISs, and we've seen that. Anything on the roadmap to be able to push back? Like if a teacher does do an assignment and grades it, they don't have to export it manually, put it back into the SIS, that it would automatically sync back?
So a great question. I'll repeat that. The idea is there any push to the SIS coming in the future? Right now, we sort of pull in. So on the OneNote team, we actually have done some experiments right now with assignment and grade integration directly into the SIS. So you can push from OneNote into different SISs. What we're looking to do in the education team is build an assignments API that we will then work with different SISs to do exactly that. The other thing that is becoming more common is the One Roster standard that I mentioned. There's this global standard called One Roster. And that will start to allow those exact capabilities, which honestly, at the end of the day, that's the best way to do it, because then there's a standardized open API that these SISs are going to start conforming to, essentially. Okay. So there'll be ultimately two ways. We'll have an assignments API, which we'll be able to talk to different SISs. And there's also the One Roster standard, which is a global one and okay. Open.
Hi. Are you going to give us a way to easily restrict group creation by license, like students, no, faculty licenses, yes?
So we are working on a specific feature which provides us data in terms of who's a student and who's a teacher. But before even you get to when we release our product, today if you have security groups set up in Azure Active Directory, with students and teachers separately, you can already apply different policies to those security groups. So you can do that today if you have security groups set up and you can manage who gets to create groups. But once we have the other solution, we'll be able to tell who's a teacher, who's a student, and you can also do that a little more easier. But don't wait for it. You should be able to do that today.
We also, I'll add again, just come talk to me afterwards. I believe we have some specific scripts that
Yes. We
can give you that will help the process to do it now versus wait for the feature. So come talk to us and we can get you some information.
Sure. My question actually dovetails off the same one. We're a large university with lots of master's programs, lots of doctoral programs. We have a wide range of adult and undergraduate students. And we spend a lot of time hunting scripts to turn things off with regard to groups. All of a sudden, Classroom notebooks pop up, turn those off. Groups pop up, turn those off. Planner pops up, shut it off. We're constantly hunting scripts instead of finding a switch or any way to gracefully start adding these things. We're not gonna let 20,000 students start adding groups. It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna ever talk anyone into this, whether it's a good idea or not. And a lot of days it is a great idea. But as soon as someone creates a mailing list, that's coming from our write.edu address. We are responsible for that, no matter what they've sent, no matter what they've said, we're the ones that are gonna get sued. And that's usually the argument I get. So in having to hunt scripts a lot in order to turn things off for people. It's kind of an administrative nightmare for us. We really want to use these things, we really have to shut it down and make it restricted. We actually have ours reversed. We require that you fill out a form. I mean, it's a wonderful thing for people working on a group project in a class, for instance. Lasts for 3 weeks, and then they go off on whatever else they're going to do. So we make them fill out a form, we create a group, here's your stuff, have a good time. But we know that it was created. We don't just constantly have things just flaring up all over the place with names we're not controlling and able to keep up with. It's a volume question with 20,000 of them running around. Never mind the faculty. We've got them too running around creating stuff. So, well, we won't talk about that. But it's the impression the other office admins get, at my school at least, is that it's kind of out of control in that it's there, poof, ta-da, without that control in advance, without having to run around in PowerShell all the time. So, do you have any plans to kind of get this the switches to keep up? Maybe that's the way to phrase my question.
So the best suggestion I would give you, to start with, I would say, please attend the 2:15 session today at the Georgia Ballroom, which is about managing Office 365 groups.
It's on my list.
You will hear and see a ton of capabilities from an admin standpoint in terms of how you can control these things better and more efficiently. Having said that, you're not the only one. Like, we've heard at least from a few customers who want additional control and who wants to kind of at least restrict group creation to a specific set of users or have a little more policy set up so that you create the groups for them and you can have the right kind of environment set up so that you can prevent all the other abuses potentially. But one thing that we always kind of tell users and our customers is that users are going to find a way whether or not you like it. And sure, there are ways that you are paying for the system, you're being paid for running the system, and we all want to make sure we provide you the best experience so that your users are more productive and they can get their work done. And if there's a specific control requirement that you have, definitely please attend that 2:15 session, and we have the experts in the room who will take your requirements. And I also went through the whole bunch of things that we have done just to satisfy the needs of our customers in education, like very specific things we built for our customers in education. And we will continue to do so if there's a requirement that that will address the needs of a lot of you people. So we are there for you. Keep doing the good work, and let's hope our users will benefit from everything we do.
I would just add that Classroom also will come with controls out of the box. So when Classroom goes GA, there'll be a big switch. If you say, I want this off, no PowerShell required.
And we also launched data group classification as well as usage guidelines recently. That may or may not stop what students may do or may not do, but we're building things. We are trying to get you the right tools that you need to manage these things better.
Is there a question?
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question in regard to school data sync. Is there plans does it work now since the student information system probably has parent data and parent emails in it?
Mm-hmm.
Could we invite parents to that Classroom group since it's possible to be public or open?
Yeah, so great question. Just to repeat, hey, if we have a lot of times parent or guardian emails are in that SIS, when you pull that in, hey, is there a way we could then automatically add the right parents to the right groups for classes? And the answer is we are definitely exploring that. I was actually just talking to some PMs and engineers last week on that exact topic because the SIS is like the master, so to speak, and has all the final data. And so we can pull that in, and we know who parent and guardian map to student and what students are what class. We can actually do a bunch of really cool stuff with parent access. So we're looking at that. Not yet, no comments on timeline, but we're looking at it. Other questions?
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about the lifecycle management piece that's coming up? We would like to create unified groups or groups for every section of every course at our universities. but we want to have a way to expire them out.
So we are currently working through and making sure all the requirements are being met. Soft delete is one of the functionalities that we are building up in our next few quarters, which will help you do exactly that, right? So you can set some expiry to a specific group, and it'll get into a deleted state before it can completely purge its content. So you have a way to come back, recover it if you need to, as well as archival, which is a step even before soft delete, where you can completely reuse content, but it doesn't like clutter up your left nav or anywhere in your experiences in Office 365. So those are two things that we are just beginning to work on, and you should start seeing some of those functionality land the next few quarters. And if you're interested to talk more, I'll be at the booth as well, so we can definitely talk more about your specific requirements that you might have for lifecycle management, and we also have some people who are building that who will help you understand what is exactly being built.
Any other questions? And you're happy to stop? Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. When you say like CSV files, when you say files? So the idea is there'll be four options. CSV files is the most basic, and until we can work with CSV files, that's like base level. APIs, so like PowerSchool, we're working directly with them, and as we onboard other SISs, we can directly talk to their APIs. There's one roster is another potential, and then Clever is the fourth one. And so a lot of SISs already go through Clever, and so we're working with Clever for certain schools and SISs. There's a lot of SISs worldwide that, you know, Clever doesn't mean anything to them, and they might just use CSVs or APIs, and then others may choose to use one roster at some point. So the SIS world is very interesting. There's a lot of fairly old technology, and then there's some newer technology, and there's kind of a curve of where they're at, these different companies. So I don't have a final answer other than CSVs is the base level, and it can get better from there.
All right. Thank you so much for attending our session. Again, please attend all the group sessions and stop by our booth. We are ready to and willing to answer any questions that you may have there.
Yeah, we'll be up here a little bit too, so yep. Feel free to stop up.